Shabbat Shalom. On Sunday, the month of Elul begins. That's the month, as you've heard, that gets us deep into our season of repentance, our high holy days. My purpose tonight is to offer some thoughts as we anticipate this coming season. And I've chosen to focus on something of great concern that not only each one of us individually, but our beloved America needs to come to grips with. Hatred, which has polarized our society, created a politics of meanness, along with the proliferation of crude and threatening language. I speak of this tonight because Sunday is also the one-year anniversary of the day hundreds of torch-wielding white supremacists descended on the University of Virginia campus, chanting, "Jews will not replace us." The next day, the streets of Charlottesville exploded in violence, ringing with the racist shouts of neo-Nazis, Klan members, and alt-right agitators who came to show the world the strength and defiance of the white supremacist movement. This was not an isolated incident of hate. Since the beginning of 2017, the Anti-Defamation League Center on Extremism has accumulated a lot of statistics showing how racist and anti-Semitic attacks are way up since the beginning of last year. As we let that thought sink in, let me talk about how our tradition understands hatred. The rabbis trace hatred of Jews to the clash between Jacob and Esau. As the boys grew up, their ill feelings intensify and culminate with the phrase, "And Esau hated Jacob." When the sages discuss this hatred, they begin with the Torah's statement that when the boys were still in Rebekah's womb, they struggled within her. Rabbi Yochanan explained, "Each ran to slay the other." Reish Lakish said, "Each annulled the laws of the other." Rabbi Berechia said, "Even while still in his mother's womb, Esau's fist was clenched out against Jacob." Three views of hatred. What did Rabbi Yochanan say? Each ran to slay the other. One of the most fundamental fears is the worry that there's not enough of what we need for everyone, leading us to fear, even hate, those with whom we must compete for the scarcity of goods. We sense this cause behind the hatred of the white supremacists and anti-Semites in recent years, as too many of them felt left out and shunted aside by their country. Their response, hatred for those whom they blame for their plight. Reish Lakish said, "Each annulled the laws of the other." To him, this was a clash of cultures, believing that coexistence between the two cultures was impossible. Similarly, white supremacists and anti-Semites who marched in Charlottesville reject the value of tolerance and pluralism that sees diversity as a blessing. To them, it's a curse. They don't believe that different cultures can get along without sacrificing too much of themselves. They believe the tolerance and pluralism of the last 50 years has been at the expense of the major culture of white Europeans. We also see this in the frightening nationalism gripping much of Europe. Finally, Rabbi Berechia, the third rabbi in our Midrash, rejects the views of both his colleagues. To him, the conflict between Jacob and Esau stems from a characteristic inherent in the very nature of the two brothers. So xenophobia, hatred of the stranger, is equally a characteristic inherent in every human being. We are simply condemned in this view to live in a world where human societies are by nature intolerant and incapable of being truly pluralistic. So our Midrash has put forth views that there is an inevitable reality of the clash between conflicting worlds. But this doesn't mean we should give up. Rather, we should confront this reality, especially we Jews. We cannot afford to be complacent about it. The holy days are good days to devote to our own prejudices and even our hatreds. And we should commit to changing ourselves and our society. How? By speaking up when others slur Jews, African Americans, Mexicans, immigrants, Muslims, gays. By being diligent in matters of separation of church and state. By finding the courage to identify what in us needs to be changed or repaired in our attitudes about people who are different from us by race, religion, ethnicity, or sexual orientation. And what does the Torah tell us about the future here in America? Is it possible for us finally to learn together in peace and mutual respect? Will America ever be able to atone for its original sin, slavery, and racism? The rabbis offer two answers, one pessimistic, the other not so much, a little bit more hopeful. The verse describing the reconciliation between Esau and Jacob says, "And Esau ran to meet him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept." In the Torah, the word vayishkehu, he kissed him, can also be read as he bit him. How so? Some rabbis thought that a miracle happened and Jacob's neck turned to marble so that the bite would not hurt him. That's why they each wept, Jacob over the pain in his frozen neck and Esau over his teeth trying to bite into marble. This vision holds no hope for Jacob and Esau or for our experiment with pluralism. For even when dialogue takes place, this view holds, it is not sincere. One side is out to bite the other rather than kiss. This, I think, is the attitude of our anti-Semites and white supremacists. And we who would hope for better are condemned to tears. But that is not the view of most of the rabbis who hail Esau's kiss and tears as a moment of genuine grace and feelings of brotherly love, possible despite the long-standing animosity between the two. That is our hope. May we be blessed with feelings of love and understanding for those who are different from us, so that despite the history of animosity between people, we begin a period of sincere dialogue, of mutual respect and admiration, of love, embracing, kisses, and joyful tears of peace and goodwill between people. May this be part of your holy day reckoning and prayers in the weeks ahead. Amen.